This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Jonathan Torres of St. Matthew Catholic Church of Charlotte.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, smeared the clay on his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back, able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He could speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to him, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. it is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the most powerful tools God often uses to draw us closer to himself is that of suffering. Whenever we experience or witness suffering, one of the most natural questions that comes up is, why would God allow such a thing to happen? In light of suffering, all of us immediately become philosophers. Even people who care little for the bigger questions in life can be pulled out of their comfort zone and wonder about things on a cosmic level. As C.S. Lewis once said, suffering is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And yet, while it's natural for us to raise our minds to God when we experience or witness suffering, it's all too easy to jump to conclusions about why a particular thing is allowed to happen. If, for example, an innocent person is left paralyzed by a car accident, a crude and honestly unsatisfactory interpretation of that incident would be something along the lines of, that person must have done something truly awful to have deserved such a horrible fate. The disciples in today's gospel have a similar mindset. After we are introduced to the blind man, the disciples ask our Lord, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The assumption here is that someone obviously must have done something wrong for this man to have deserved such a fate. Now, I think part of the reason why we may think this way is because we are not comfortable with mystery. It's easier to establish justice by our own simplistic standards and declare, if this person suffers, then he must have deserved it. And then we can wash our hands of the matter and go about our day. However, that mindset offers no wisdom, and even worse, trivializes suffering, as if we can understand suffering fully. Our Lord, rejecting this tendency to jump to conclusions, answers his disciples, saying, "Neither he, the blind man, nor his parents sinned. Now listen, it is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." To better understand our Lord's answer, we have to remember that from the beginning of history, back in Genesis, mankind was given dominion over creation. There was a harmony that existed between all of nature and man. However, when we read the Gospels, we see the exact opposite. Mankind does not have power over nature. People are possessed by demons. The disciples are tossed about at sea, and massive crowds are subjected to severe illnesses. When Adam and Eve chose to turn away from God in the Garden of Eden, sin and its effects were introduced to our world. And the greatest effects of sin are suffering and death. By rejecting the gift of life from God, we chose death instead. And this is why Christ performs miracles, so that the work of redemption can be accomplished. That is, the undoing of the effects of sin. All miracles in Scripture are acts that restore the created order of the world, to bring us back where we ought to be, that is, in union with God and in harmony with creation. The word miracle comes from the Latin word mirare, meaning to see. It's the same root word that we get for the word mirror. Thus, the word miracle implies that we are seeing something that we could not see before. We are seeing the world as it should be. And the way the world returns to what it should be is through Christ. When we encounter the mute, the blind, and the deaf in the Gospels, we are seeing people bound by the effects of sin. Not necessarily individual sins that the disciples assumed were the cause of the blind man's suffering, but rather sin with a capital S, sin as a condition, as something like a disease that infects all of us, like a cancer. Sin as a condition is a cosmological force that needs to be undone on a cosmological level, which is why redemption could only come about through Jesus Christ, the one who is true God and true man. This is what our Lord means when he says that the blind man was born blind so that the works of God might be made visible through him. Christ alone is the one who can undo the effects of sin so we may see creation as it should have been from the beginning. Now, taking this a step further, the definitive way Christ undoes sin is through his passion and death on the cross, which leads to the greatest miracle of all, his own resurrection from the dead. All of Christ's miracles point to his resurrection. They are foreshadowings of the ultimate conquering of sin and its effects of suffering and death. That miracle, Christ's resurrection, is the great revelation of who God is. He, through his great sacrifice of love, has destroyed sin. Now, it's interesting that when our Lord heals the blind man in the gospel, he uses saliva mixed with dirt to create clay, and then smears that clay onto the blind man's eyes. It's strange, to say the least, and on the face of it, it's rather disgusting. Why does Christ choose to heal through such a repulsive method? Clearly, being God, he could have simply healed with the word of love. Again, why did he choose to manifest his power in such a grotesque way? I think what our Lord is getting at in using clay made from saliva is the grotesque nature of Christianity. Yes, Christ may have healed with a simple word from afar, and yes, he may have redeemed us by simply willing it. But such distant methods do not take the state of humanity seriously enough. That term, the grotesque, is something the Southern Catholic writer Flannery O'Connor wrote a lot about. In her short stories, she often portrays horrible characters, thieves, liars, and murderers, yet shows that despite their sins, grace can still prevail. And one look at the cross shows us that our Lord took sin seriously, despite how repugnant that sacred image is. Christ's use of saliva in the gospel underscores how in touch he is with our humanity. He is not distant from our struggles, but so close to us that his presence can almost seem scandalous. This is why Paul writes, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks." Absurd, grotesque, and repelling, yes. But such is the state of humanity. And yet, in redeeming such a dirtied image of mankind, our Lord has raised us up to become like God. In the end, we are all like the blind man, stuck in our own grotesque state of being. And whether our suffering is external or internal, whether it's some habit or sin we struggle with, or something that has happened to us that we have no control over, our Lord wishes for us to find meaning in it. He wishes to enter into the messiness of our lives in order to bring about our redemption. If we allow him to work within us, we will experience our own miracles. And thus we will be able to look back on our sufferings and understand the reason for them, just as Christ proclaimed in the gospel, that the work of God might be made visible through us.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.